Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, What is History? By Edward Hallett Carr, is a compact work of historiography and philosophy of history, first developed from lectures delivered at Cambridge in 1961. Rather than offering a chronological narrative, it asks how historical knowledge is made, why some events become historically important, and what role historians play in shaping the past for later readers. Carr challenges the older empiricist assumption that history is simply a storehouse of objective facts waiting to be collected. He argues that historical facts reach us through selection, interpretation, and the questions asked by people living in particular social circumstances. The book also examines causation, the relation between individuals and society, moral judgment, and the possibility of progress. Its purpose is introductory but provocative, making it especially influential in courses on historical method. Carr writes for readers who want to understand not only what happened in the past, but how accounts of the past are constructed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, historical facts are selected, not merely found. One of the central arguments of what is history is that facts do not become historical simply because they occurred. Countless actions, decisions, accidents, and conversations happen in every period, yet only a small number enter historical writing. Carr distinguishes ordinary facts about the past from facts that historians treat as historically significant. His well-known example is Caesar crossing the Rubicon. Many people crossed that river, but Caesar's action became historically meaningful because later historians connected it to the collapse of the Roman Republic and the rise of imperial rule. The point is not that historians invent events, but that they decide which events matter and why. This selection depends on evidence, but also on interpretive frameworks, social concerns, and the questions that guide research. Carr therefore rejects the idea that a historian can begin with pure facts and only later form an interpretation. The choice of evidence already reflects a view of historical importance. This argument makes readers more attentive to what a historical account includes, what it omits, and what assumptions make certain facts appear central. Secondly, history is a dialogue between the present and the past. Carr defines history as an active relationship between the historian and the evidence of the past. The past does not speak in a complete and self-explanatory form. Documents, archives, chronicles, and material traces require questions before they become meaningful. Those questions arise from the present, because historians live within particular intellectual, political, and cultural environments. This does not mean that history is arbitrary or fictional. Carr still treats evidence as essential, but he denies that evidence can be understood without interpretation. A medieval charter, a diplomatic telegram, or a parliamentary record becomes historically useful only when placed within a problem the historian is trying to solve. The present, therefore, shapes the inquiry, while the surviving past constrains and challenges it. Carr offers a middle position between naive objectivism and complete relativism. He accepts that historians are situated observers, but he also believes disciplined interpretation can produce better and worse explanations. The practical consequence is that readers should ask not only whether a historical claim is supported by evidence, but also what present concerns shape the questions behind it. Thirdly, individuals matter through social and historical context. Carr resists accounts of history that treat great individuals as isolated causes of major change. He does not deny that leaders, thinkers, generals, and reformers can be important. Instead, he argues that their significance can be understood only within the social forces, institutions, and conditions that make their actions effective. A political leader is not simply a private personality who imposes a will on events. That leader works through parties, states, classes, bureaucracies, armies, economic pressures, and inherited ideas. For Carr, the individual and society are not separate explanatory units but interdependent. Society forms individuals by giving them language, assumptions, opportunities, and constraints. Individuals in turn may influence social development when their actions connect with broader historical tendencies. This approach changes how causation is studied. Rather than asking whether a single figure caused an event, Carr encourages historians to examine the conditions that made a person influential at a particular time. The result is a more layered explanation in which agency remains real, but agency is never detached from structure. Fourthly, causation requires hierarchy, not a list of every condition. Carr treats causation as one of the main tasks of historical explanation. Historians must do more than describe sequences of events. They must decide which causes were significant, how they interacted, and why one outcome occurred rather than another. Since every event has many preconditions, historical explanation cannot include every possible factor with equal weight. A war, revolution, reform, or institutional collapse may involve economic pressures, political decisions, ideological conflicts, administrative failures, and chance events. Carr argues that historians impose order by ranking causes according to explanatory power. this is not a mechanical procedure, because different historians may emphasize different factors, but it is also not a random preference. A cause becomes historically important when it helps explain a broader pattern and can be connected to other evidence. Carr is skeptical of explanations that rely too heavily on accident, because accident can stop inquiry too soon. His position pushes readers to ask whether a historical explanation identifies deeper relationships or merely names a convenient trigger. In this way, causation becomes a disciplined act of interpretation. Lastly, progress and objectivity remain contested but usable ideas. Carr argues that historians cannot completely escape value judgments, because the study of history involves judgments about significance, direction, and human purposes. He is associated with a belief that history can be understood in relation to progress, though not in a simple or automatic sense. Progress for Carr is linked to the expansion of human capacity to understand and control social conditions, rather than to a guaranteed moral improvement in every generation. This makes his position controversial. Critics have argued that his emphasis on broad historical movement can undervalue contingency, alternative outcomes, and the importance of events that did not happen but could have happened. Others have objected that his rejection of absolute objectivity risks giving too much power to the historian perspective, yet Carr does not abandon objectivity altogether. He relocates it in the disciplined comparison of interpretations, the testing of explanations against evidence, and the ability to see beyond narrow personal or national assumptions. The book stands out because it treats objectivity not as a fixed starting point, but as a difficult achievement within historical practice. In conclusion, What Is History? Is best suited to students of history, readers beginning historiography, and anyone who wants to understand how historical narratives are built rather than simply consume them. It is also useful for journalists, teachers, political readers, and general nonfiction readers who encounter competing accounts of the past and need tools for evaluating them. The main intellectual benefit is a sharper awareness that evidence and interpretation are inseparable. Carr teaches readers to ask why certain facts are selected, and A, what questions guide an account, how causes are ranked, and how the perspective of the historian shapes the final narrative. Compared with many works in the philosophy of history, the book stands out for its accessibility and argumentative clarity. It does not require specialized philosophical training, yet it addresses major issues such as objectivity, causation, social context, progress, and moral judgment. Compared with standard historical method manuals, it is more reflective and polemical, pressing readers to examine the assumptions behind the craft. Its influence also comes from being debatable. Even critics of Carr often define their own positions against him, which is why the book remains a durable entry point into the question of what historians actually do. If you would like to support Edward Hallett Carr, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.